Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Did I do right by Jimmy?
You did awesome, dude. That was a home run from Joe DeGamera right there.
Want to make sure. Good morning, everyone. Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie. Busy day, big day. Eagles getting ready for the Rams. By the way, we'll talk later in the program to Ross Tucker, Mike Quick, and Ron Jaworski. So a lot happening. Also, your chance to weigh in on the Phillies, who just keep winning. Sanchez not at his best last night, but he lengthened out as that game went on and pitched certainly good enough for the Phillies to win as the bats came alive in two different innings, and the Phillies got it done again in L.A. All right, let's talk some football with our next guest. Now, let me tell you this. AMA, which we normally do at this time, we're going to do a little bit later today, probably around 720, 725 AMA. So get those questions in, Facebook, Twitter, and the text line. Three ways you can interact with our show in addition to the regular phone line, AMA, later this hour. All right, Shield Kapadia. Right now, and of course, Shield does absolutely phenomenal work with The Ringer. He joins us every Wednesday morning. Good morning, Shield.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Doing great.
So, Shield, a ton to get into. And, you know, you have reviewed the tape of the game and obviously the first two games. So let's do a dive on the Eagles' offense. And I'm going to tee up for you the Twitter poll question of the day, and I'm curious what the film tells you about some of the Eagles' struggles on offense. Twitter poll question brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Do more and get more in a 2026 Armin Chevrolet Trailblazer, starting at only $24,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. Sheila, our poll question is, the biggest issue with the Eagles' offense is, fill in the blank, A, Jalen Hurts, B, Kevin Petullo. That obviously means the transition to a new coordinator and how he's doing. C, sluggishness with limited training camp preparation. Or D, something else. What would be your, based on the film, what does the film tell you the right answer to that is?
Yeah, I would say D. I don't think it's Jalen Hurts. I don't think it's that they're sluggish. I think schematically what you see is that this is just a passing game. They don't run a high volume of different types of plays or different types of concepts. They really rely on the same ones. And when you're an offense like that, you really got to dress it up differently, whether it's different motions or different shifts or personnel groupings, or you got to have those little wrinkles and those change-ups.
Well, Shil, isn't that a Petullo answer? I'm sorry to cut you off, but doesn't that mean Petullo?
The head coach is there also, you know? So it is a coaching, to me, it's a coaching schematic issue. It's not that it's totally different than last year. And there's also stuff we don't know. What does Jalen Hurts prefer? Are there things he prefers to do as well? So that's been the ongoing question we've had for a long time. But the bottom line is, the opponents the first 2 weeks have had a beat on what they're doing in the passing game, and there's been a lot of stuff covered up, and there haven't been enough answers. So that, to me, would be the biggest issue. And they've had two passing plays of over 20 yards in two games. That's the lowest in the NFL. And so that's got to change pretty soon here.
It just feels so predictable, Shiel.
Correct.
Does it look predictable to you? And if that's the case, what does Petullo need to do to fix that?
Yeah, they've got to look at some of their tendencies right now in terms of predictability. I mean, when they have two tight ends on the field, they're running the football like over 90% of the time right now. And if I know that, opponents know that. You know, there's other stuff like that that you look at just when they're under center. I think every under center play so far this season, except for one,
except for the first one.
So where is the, you know, so what they've done? They're trying to get in these big formations with tight end, but they're running the ball out of them. I would like to see, hey, well, how about let's get under center and run a play action out of that? So it's just breaking some tendencies. being less predictable. I know Kevin Petullo acknowledged those things yesterday in his press conference, so let's see what it looks like Sunday against the Rams.
Gil Capadia with us here on WIP. Shield, do you notice any drop-off in Saquon? Too early to know or not?
No, I think the run game has been efficient, not explosive, and so I think those will come. So, yeah, no, there was a play that last drive they had, that 9-yard run, Chris Jones gets in the backfield, and Saquon still turns it into a 9-yard run on that play, where that play could potentially be dead. So, no, I haven't noticed a drop-off with him. Let's see if the more explosive runs start to come here.
Are we developing a new identity defensively now, Sheil? I know it's early, but it feels like, holy cow, we're blitzing and we're sending these linebackers, and it's just active and exciting. Am I too early with this, and should I calm down?
Well, I don't know if it's a 1-week thing or an actual change, but what a cool game plan from Vic Fangio. I mean, Eagles, it's just in the Super Bowl, they don't blitz one time, and they play zone coverage the entire game. And he could have come out in week two and said, all right, it worked last time. You know, we've got better players. Let's do the same thing. He doesn't do that. He comes out and he says, we're going to play man coverage almost more than he ever has as the Eagles coordinator. He said, we're going to blitz and be aggressive because they're going to not be expecting us to do that. That's not what I typically do. And so it's almost the opposite of what I mentioned with the offense, is that Fangio is working to make life hard on the opponent every single week, and it was a joy to watch. I mean, they were generating free rushers, and they were getting after Patrick Mahomes, and it was just such a cool changeup from Vic Fangio that he's done now pretty much every week for since week five of last season. There are times where he says, hey, we can just do what we do, and we're better, but then when you face the great quarterbacks, that's not a great way to play. You got to have some wrinkles. You got to create some uncertainty. And he did that brilliantly in this game.
So when you watch the film, Sheil, we know that Makuba is a ball hawk. We know that Andrew Makuba does the little things, and he's got a knack for making plays. But what does he do that puts him in such prime position to be around the ball and to take the ball away? We used to just fantasize about this concept. How do we get the ball back? Well, it's like you just bring Andrew Makuba in and he'll go get the ball and score with it.
Yeah, there's obviously, going to be some randomness with that stuff, but I think just being in the right place at the right time, on that interception, Jalen Carter had a great pass rush that kind of forced Patrick Mahomes to get rid of the ball pretty quickly. Travis Kelce doesn't have his head around in time, bounces off his hands. And Makuba has an interception. But I'll tell you what, that was Makuba's most impactful play of the game. But just in terms of film, he had one earlier where it was 3rd and 1. If you remember that 4th down stop the Eagles had on 3rd down before that, they're running a crossing route where he has to fight through traffic. He's got to keep up with Hollywood Brown. And then he's got to make a big tackle to get him short of the sticks. And I thought that was his best play of the entire game. That set up the big 4th down stop from Nolan Smith. So, yeah, there's going to be some ups and downs with rookies, but through 2 weeks, he's had quite a few ups where I say I'm pretty bullish on this guy once he figures it all out.
Shields, get a little preview of Sunday, Eagles-Rams. Pretty solid, real solid week 3 game. How are the Rams better than last year? How good are they?
Yeah, they're better than last year because they added Davante Adams, and last year with Puka Nacua, and they didn't have another option in the passing game that was really good. Now they've got two guys. I think Puka Nacua is a top 5 wide receiver. And Davante Adams is still fantastic at this stage of his career. So this is a team where if you caught him in week 11 or 12, maybe Stafford's dealing with some injuries. He's 37 years old. But getting him in week 3 here with all those guys healthy, it's going to be a real challenge for the Eagles defense. It's going to be a challenge for Adoree Jackson. And so I think the Eagles can run the football against them. And I think the Eagles are obviously favored in the game. But there's no doubt this is a formidable opponent at this stage of the season.
Hey, Sheil, nice work, bud. We look forward in the coming months talking a ton of Eagles football with you. And in the coming weeks, Philly's playoff baseball, because we know no one gets more Philly'd up than you. So,
Listen, I couldn't stay up last night, but now you can catch all the highlights in 11 minutes. I just watched every at-bat. I'm fired up. I'm ready for the playoffs to start tomorrow.
You got it, my man. Sheil, stay well, pal. We'll talk.
Take care, guys.
Right, there is Shiel Kapadia. 215-592-9494. All right, up ahead, some really interesting data on the tush push. ESPN with an article yesterday. I'm going to break it down for you. Fascinating stuff. We'll talk to Ross Tucker about that and more. Ross at 7:30 with us. 8 o'clock, your chance to hear a name. And with that name, you can win tickets on Friday's show to the Eagles-Rams game. So be listening at 8. Plus a very anti tush push by a well-known national sports figure. We'll get to that and more. Phone calls and all these topics on 94WIP. All right, let me tell you about FanDuel Sportsbook, as always, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino as they get you ready for kickoff with an offer you will not want to miss. You know, new customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right. Pick a bet, bet $5, and if it wins, they will unlock for you $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. That's an amazing opportunity. That's what you get with FanDuel Sportsbook at FanDuel.com/hammer. Whether it's player props, point spreads, over-unders, whatever it may be, parlays, it's all there for you at FanDuel.com/hammer. That Philly and L.A. game we were just talking about, not baseball, but football, up ahead in 4 days. You can certainly weigh in on that. By the way, you can weigh in on baseball as well, as Philly and L.A. play a baseball game tonight. All the sports, all the games, all the leagues, all available for you to win at FanDuel.com/hammer. Friday AMA, as we typically do Wednesdays at 7 a.m. Moved it back a little bit today, juggling the lineup around a bit. Phone calls in a moment, but right now some fun sports or non-sports questions. AMA, Facebook, Twitter, and the text line. Seltzer, what do inquiring minds want to know?
Let's start off with Jack the Mike on Twitter. Jack asks, I have a ridiculous, barely sports-related pet peeve. It's always bothered me that the quote-unquote, the home of the Philadelphia Phillies, behind home plate at CBP is in some random font and not the Phillies font. What is your most ridiculous, barely sports-related pet peeve that you have?
I've never noticed that.
I haven't either.
I haven't either, very of course observant. Not. But that's the point. Barely, no. You know, it's a very
I'll give you two.
Of course you have two on top of your head.
I got 25 million.
Of course you do.
Number one, I can't stand when announcers talk about how what the exit velocity on a baseball was, it was a home run. I mean, here's just my assumption as a human. If a ball is thrown 95 miles an hour and a man that's 200-something pounds hits it with a baseball bat and it goes, 400 feet, I'm guessing it went out fast. What do I care if it's 105 miles an hour or 112? What do I care? I don't care.
Agree.
I just don't care.
Tell me how far it went. Like 440.
Yeah, that
cool.
matters
All
more.
Right, that's
yeah,
cool.
I,
sure. that's
I just don't care.
I do think that's interesting. The distance.
Let's say you found out this one went out 97 miles an hour.
Dude, I feel the same way. It was
Who
like,
cares?
They're like, oh, it's 116. The hardest one hit this year. Yeah. Sweet, man.
I watched it go out really fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked like it got out quick, I guess.
So,
sure.
That's my gripe. Is that fair?
I think it's a great one.
All right, John, you got a gripe?
I'll give you another one.
You need another one. Give me warmed up. And this isn't that swan to the radar.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
NBC's freaking pregame show Sunday Night Football, they all stink. Rhea Taylor stinks. Freaking Garrett stinks. I'm tired of
Garrett is the worst. Kid Collinsworth.
It's Jason an awkward, Kid it's Collinsworth. A very awkward dynamic.
You're right.
Dungy's boring. They all stink.
Well, yeah. Also, just how many people do we need on all these
Garrett,
shows?
Kid
I
Sims?
Agree with you.
They all stink.
I agree with you.
All
I agree
of them.
A lot of nepotism on that show as well there.
It's a shame.
A lot of it. I mean, we got the Collinsworth kid. You got the Sims kid. You got all the kids.
It's
awful.
Can we be for real for a little bit here? I agree.
Maria Taylor being taller than all of them amuses me.
It just looks
I think she's good. I think that they just surround her with bad talent.
Don't like her. I don't like any of them. I think they all stink.
That completely sidetracked me.
I like Dungy. I'll just say this. I like Dungy, but he's just boring.
He is incredible.
Jason Garrett's so bad.
He's awful.
He is so bad.
It's like a puppet.
All right, do you have
the technology to do the first downs, like, so that we know it's first downs, don't we? Can't we get that? Can't we arrive at that without consternation?
So your pet peeve is the chains?
Next year? Well, they did it. What are you talking about?
Well, I think we can do it.
They just implemented it.
Implemented better.
Well, we just haven't seen it in an Eagles game yet, right? I think we're 0 for 2 games.
Didn't we? Was it one? I think they did one in the Chiefs game.
Right, well, it's implemented. You were stuck in last year?
Well, I guess my gripe is we can do this type of thing. We know that they have in baseball. We know that the minor leagues has the robo-ump and everything else. Like, why can't we just get it right? You know, because I think in many ways there are those who hold on to the past, Joe,
who don't
want the robo. But really, it is an additional layer of information for the ump or official or for him to rule appropriate.
You know what I love? John's asked for an under-the-radar topic.
I had the same thought.
All right, James, let's do one more question.
All right. Who do you guys think is currently the best national sports analyst or personality on air these days?
Stephen A. I think he's a force. I know he rubs people the wrong way sometimes and all that. And it's over the top, but I'm a big Stephen A. fan.
I'm a big Stephen A. fan, too. You know, I like Skip, but I think Skip is...
he's not even working anymore, really, right? Yeah,
saying some crazy stuff.
He's a buffoon.
Sometimes. But really was a sweet man to me. Very, very nice man. Geez. I think Chris Collinsworth, even though people think he stinks.
I love him.
He is very smart.
Can't stand him.
And he gives me a lot of great information a game. I know that seems controversial.
Oh, did you say Collinsworth? I thought you said Sims. I'm sorry. I like Collinsworth. I think Collinsworth's good. I'm with you on that.
Collinsworth is really, really
good. I think he does
a
really good job.
Man, I feel so well informed, and I feel secure when I know he's doing the game. I know the information is right, and I don't know how he does it, but he gives you angles that normal eyes can't see. He's really, really well informed, and he can see all 22 guys.
No, he's great at it. He is. With that, AMA, we shut it down. All righty. So, a lot going on here today. Phil's win last night. They're like way, way, way up on the Dodgers. So, a couple things. They're 6.5 up. They now hold the tiebreaker. The magic number for the Phillies to clinch the 2 seed is 4, and there's 10 games left for the Phillies, and 11 games left for the Dodgers. Like, it's over. That's over. Now it's just a matter of whether the Phillies catch the Brewers. Brewers won again last night, so they remain, what, James, 2.5?
1.5, I believe.
Right, and then with the tiebreaker.
But it's 2.5 with the tiebreaker, correct.
All right, so Phillies are in a great spot, and, you know, that's the story there. Eagles. Offense. John, your opinion. Biggest issue that's held back the Eagles' offense is which one?
The choice, the lack of reps, lack of getting, I don't know, fully immersed, the slow start.
That's what Ray said yesterday, or 2 days
enough.
Ago.
Yeah. Camp was, they were banging around pretty well this year, to my satisfaction. They're still not doing the, you know, 2 practices a day, like the old school type stuff, but... Man, I do kind of feel, I get the feeling that the Eagles are a team who prefers it this way, which is, man, this credit to Howie.
Well, they play with fire. They play
the right type of guys here.
They play with fire.
They want to wear
but
pads.
They win. And so if you can get through
they
September.
They want to hit. They want to practice. Yeah. But right now, their bodies really are adjusting. What we saw from Jalen Carter in week 2 is... You know, he couldn't play anywhere close to well because he's not in game shape yet, not even close to it.
Well, look, we'll take everyone's calls on the offense. Devin, biggest issue. Here's what I've got written down. Issues to be considered. Hurts, the change of coordinator, offensive line not as good, Saquon maybe not as good, the rust factor coming out of camp. Number one thing is which one?
I guess it would fall to the coordinator, but I'm not saying like it's Kevin Petrullo's doing a bad job. I think it's a mix of the coordinator and a slow start. You know, the start of the season, we know that the first 4 weeks are essentially the preseason for a lot of these starters, especially on offense. I think it's, you know, a pretty predictable offense right now. And that plays a part in the run game as well. I don't think Saquon's taking a step back. I think that, you know, the guys on the O-line keep saying, you know, they're one block away. You know, so it's a missed block. It's, you know, he's not getting that explosive run, but it's two games in and these teams know it's coming. You know, on first down, like 90% of the time, the Eagles are running the ball. So opposing defenses know exactly what's coming. They just have to get the ball to AJ and Devontae more, though. And I don't know if that's maybe, you know, more creative plays, different play designs, different play calls in different situations, but something needs to change.
All right, James, I know you're not going to say Hurts, okay? Even though that's the correct answer. What's the answer?
Hurts is not the correct answer. Look, you even said Hurts was awesome in the first game.
Yes,
so we're talking about two games here. Mm-hmm. One in Kansas City where the whole offense looked bad and we're like freaking out on Jalen Hurts.
You think it's KC's D was really good?
I think it's a combination of multiple things. I think KC's D was good. I think they're sluggish from the preseason. They did not play a bunch together. Like all the stars, A.J. Brown was barely in training camp. Lane Johnson missed time. Jordan Mailata missed time. Like Landon Dickerson clearly missed time. Yeah. I think the offensive line has looked bad. I think the scheme has been stale and boring and not that interesting. Like, I think it's a lot of things. I think it's crazy to say it's Jalen.
Yeah.
Like,
Rhea?
Well, you know, as I said earlier, to me, you mentioned the Eagles' offense looked really good in that Dallas game, right? You
know, in the first half, especially.
The second half was weird. They had the delay.
It was.
There was all kinds of weird stuff. Yeah. So I do give a little leeway for that. But to me, Goddard is a huge miss. And them not addressing the backup, knowing his injury history, Calcaterra was a mess on Sunday. I mean, in the run game, in the pass game, they had AJ wide open. Now, there were twice that I saw that Hurts could have thrown the ball to AJ and to Devontae, but, you know, Saquon had 88 yards. He's not slowed down. Calcaterra was missing blocks. I'm telling you, they can't have him out there if Goddard's not
there. All right, let's go to the phones. There's a lot to chew on. Look, let's be clear. The Eagles are 2-0. There's a lot of great stuff. The defense has been, I think, way ahead of what certainly I expected. I would think most of us expected. And they got a bunch of winnable games up ahead. Now, the next two are tough. The Rams and the Bucs look like solid football teams.
Really good.
Yeah, so don't take it for granted. But there's a real pathway to get to 4-0 and 6-0 and keep this thing rocking. All right, we'll talk to Ross coming up shortly. Got some tush-push data to get you, which is pretty interesting. Dennis in Springfield right now. Dennis, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Good to talk to you.
What's up, Dennis?
Your stations disappoint me a little bit, and I understand what the deal is. But I watch the games, and then I watch the garbage after-game shows, and I see the stuff on Monday and Tuesday. And the whole narrative after that game was, what's wrong with the Chiefs, and the tush-push should be banned. That's it. Nothing about how well they played defensively. Nothing about winning 18 out of 19 games. Nothing about that game drawing 33 million people or eyeballs or whatever to watch. And then I listen to your station and it's, let's have polls on everything that's wrong.
All right, so Dennis, listen, it's an interesting critique. I vibe with it a little bit, not a ton. And I'll tell you why not a ton. Because I actually think, and I said this in the first, I'm sure, segment of Monday's show, I actually don't think the Chiefs are that good. So, and I said it a lot on Monday, I don't believe this win represents the level of win that an in-Kansas City victory by the Eagles in the last 5 to 7 years would have represented. I'm thrilled they're 2-0. I think they're going to be 12-5 or greater. Like, I had them at 11-6. Now that they beat KC, I'll bump them up to 12-5. Maybe they'll be 13-4 or more. But there have been issues that are worth discussing, and so we're discussing.
And Dennis, I'd love to put the truth meter on you. Were you thrilled in-game watching it? Were you thrilled with the offense?
I was not thrilled with the offense, but before that game was played, nobody was saying nationally or, I mean, locally, I don't care what people think about the Chiefs, but nobody was saying the Chiefs aren't that good.
I was.
But the national narrative was they're going to make a stand. Their backs are going to be against the wall. And the Eagles just physically dominated this team, both offensively and defensively. The offense may not have scored, but if you don't come, if you play the Eagles and you don't come ready for a fist fight,
you're right.
You're in trouble.
That part's right, 100%. All right, Dennis, great call. I want to get to Ross here. Give me the best fictional war character of all time.
Okay, I'm going to have to go with the Christopher Walken character, Nick, from The Deer Hunter.
All right, you got it. Well, to The Deer Hunter we go. Mm. By the way, I need a ruling because this could come up as an issue. I need a ruling. I always get confused on this stuff. The Trojan War.
Yeah.
It's real. It's myth.
It's real. It's real.
I always get confused on this, too.
It's real.
So, but I think it's
I don't know.
Real with, but then, you know, the... Yeah. Homer storytelling, obviously
right.
Not real.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm asking. Homer writes the Iliad and the Odyssey, and like some of the Trojan War. Like, is Achilles like a character that can be said he's fictional or he's not fictional?
Well, I think Achilles is fictional.
Achilles
but,
is definitely.
I
fictional.
Think yeah, but there's. I've read
like,
that
the Trojan
what about
horse.
Helen?
The Trojan horse and stuff is real.
Helen is my mother.
Okay. All right. Let's talk to
John,
Ross.
You got
Stucker.
Thoughts on this?
I think Helen was real.
Yeah, I think Helen and Troy was real.
I
yeah,
think
for
this
sure.
It's all like inspired by real
yeah,
events.
Yeah, like I think I've read that Achilles was like obviously not, you know, didn't have mythical powers.
Yeah, he wasn't
but was
super
based
powered,
off of
but,
like a he, warrior.
He wasn't impervious to arrows everywhere except
right,
his
right.
Achilles.
Well, what about the Minotaur? It was like half
well, that's
bull,
not
half
real,
man.
Joe. Yeah, come on,
I'm just
man.
Asking. That's,
probably.
Joe,
no,
this stuff was all BC. It wasn't exactly videotaped.
Of course.
Or written
yeah,
down
there, there's
was,
who
all right,
knows
let's
about.
Talk to Ross Tucker, a man who went to Princeton and would know the answer to these questions. But more importantly, hopefully he can decode the Eagles offense with us. Ross, every Tuesday at this time, of course, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, CBS announcer, media mogul extraordinaire, Ross Tucker. Good morning, Ross.
Good morning. I'm actually more of a Roman history guy than a Greek mythology guy, I would say. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, though, that my younger daughter's name is Helen.
Nice.
Great name.
And she also has a face that could launch 1,000 ships.
Wow.
Look at that.
People will be fighting wars for years over her. And Ross will be fending off those guys at the front door. All right, Ross, let's get to it, my man. Forget the offense for a moment and some of the consternation. The defense. Way better than I thought. And I think there's two things. One, Fangio's doing some stuff, clearly, right? And there's an advantage there. But I also just think Howie did a better job replacing players than he did 2 years ago when he had to replace half the defense. Looks to me like Campbell can play, Smith can play, Makuba can play. Guys that were elevated, like Ojomo, who was here, but elevated, can play. I mean, I just think they got a bunch of ballers, and I don't think we're seeing a 2023 drop-off at all. Agree?
I do agree. Right now, the Eagles are in a weird place where all of their high-paid guys, for the most part, that are in their prime are on the offensive side of the ball, and they're all back returning starters, and yet that unit is struggling a little bit. I think part of that is just the natural way of the NFL early in the season, you know, with these guys not playing at all in the preseason anymore. I think it kind of takes teams the month of September to figure out how they should be operating offensively. But defensively, most of these guys
I
are on their
– Ross.
I know, but listen, John, most defensively, most of these guys are on their first contract, and they're young and good. It's interesting because we are 2 years away. I mean, maybe we're already there, but we're 2 years away from this being very much a defensive-led, defensive-dominated roster. Because a couple years from now, AJ won't be the same. Saquon won't be the same. Goddard probably won't be here. Lane won't be here. So it's fascinating. You're right. Makuba looks like a dude. Campbell looks like a dude. Ojomo can play. Jordan Davis, this is the best we've seen. I mean, they really haven't even gotten that much from Jalen Carter these first two games. And yet they've still played really well on the defensive side of the ball.
Well, it feels like, man, Adoree Jackson in week two, it felt like he was holding up. But how much of that, Ross, was there just weren't any good wide receivers to cover?
That's a terrific point. I mean, I can't believe, guys, I'm watching the Kansas City Chiefs play. And in the fourth quarter, when they're trying to come from behind, Mahomes is taking deep shots to Tyquan Thornton,
yeah,
and Romeo. Who are these guys? I mean, I know who they are because this is all I do. But how many Eagles fans, okay, watching that game?
Never heard of them
on Sunday.
I never heard of them.
Have ever heard of Tyquan Thornton or Nico Romeo? I mean, I don't feel bad for Mahomes at all, but that's crazy. That
so
that's
Ross,
the
how
guys
good,
he's throwing.
So
to.
How good a win was it? Because in my opinion, it's just this is where I'm at. I don't think the Chiefs are making the playoffs.
Yeah, so you're wrong about that. They are going to make the playoffs. They'll get Worthy back in a week or two. They'll get Rashee Rice back at week six, and they'll start to win a bunch of games, in my opinion. That you can't be out there with receivers we've never heard of. Think about where the Eagles' offense is right now, and then think about where they'd be if they were playing games without Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. That's what the Chiefs are at right now.
Yeah,
I mean, it's actually amazing. And by the way, second week in a row, nobody wants to talk about this, but if Mahomes waits a split second to throw that pass to Kelsey and Kelsey catches it, the Chiefs very easily could win that game.
Could've.
I mean, the Makuba play changed everything in that game. But listen, you still got to make the plays you make. I still think it's a very, very impressive win. To knock the Chiefs to 0-2 at home, even when you're not looking that great. Because that's the other thing. Like I've been listening the last couple days, and I get it that the offense isn't firing on all cylinders. I don't know about you, John. I always looked at it like when you win in the NFL, when you're not really playing that great, oh, my gosh, that's a good sign. I mean, that means it is hard to win. If you're winning when you're not playing well, that's a great sign.
Well, it's amazing the way that coaches like Andy Reid celebrate those wins. A guy who's been around the block the way he has. When they draw attention to the point, hey, this is really important, guys. You get a win like this, you celebrate that. Yeah, that it means something. It means a lot.
Yeah, I remember a lot of the Eagles' great years under Andy, when they would beat, let's say, average or below average teams, he would often step to the podium and say something like, any win in the NFL is a good win. And it was his way of saying, don't take this for granted. And I respect that. All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. Ross with us for an entire hour. We got a lot of tush-push stuff to do. Things were said this week. Mulata said something interesting. Mike Greenberg, Schefter. And I've got some data that is borderline unbelievable on the success of the Eagles' tush-push compared to other teams. We'll get to that in a moment. John in Mount Laurel right now. John, good morning.
Oh, good morning. How are you guys?
Doing great, John.
What's up, John?
Great. Hey, Russ. So the Phillies remind me of Godzilla. They're just rampaging. And John, Richie, one time I heard you say that when you were in college, you could catch a ball and you had time to turn upfield. But when you got to the pros, you were amazed how quickly they got there and how angry they were when they got there.
Yeah.
And I think
or,
if we
or
really
maybe I was just getting down, slower too, John.
Say no, again? I think Ray Lewis was faster.
Maybe a little of both.
If I understand correctly, the Chiefs have been to the last three Super Bowls. We went into Arrowhead and beat them. Do I fantasize about the Eagles' offense exploding for 50 points every game with Air Sirianni? Absolutely. But a win is a win. And I just think you guys do a great job. I really enjoy the program. And I like the Saturday program, too, with Jimmy and the Dreamer.
Wow.
The Dreamer.
Why is he the Dreamer, James?
Who's the Dreamer?
Elliot.
All right.
Elliot's the Dreamer.
John, why is he the Dreamer?
Just the points of view that he presents sometimes are so far out.
Oh. That's pretty good.
Good, John.
All right, John, I like that call. Let's talk to Eric. He's calling from Mount Laurel. Eric, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Just wanted to talk a little bit of Phillies with you and kind of highlight how important Topper's decision was to not put Schwarber as a leadoff and put him where he is in the lineup, because when I look at what he did last year, 25 of his 38 home runs last year were with runners on base, right? So that's like 65%. This year, the number is shifted, and it's more like 38 of his home runs of his 53, which is like 72%.
Well, that's just
base.
About the same.
Here's a better way to say it.
That's about a
Here's a better way to say it. He leads the league in RBI.
Right.
By 10 RBI.
Right.
He's above everyone else. Like, that's it. There
that's
you go.
The way
you
to
can say it.
Yeah, Eric, I think the way you presented it, you're only talking about a one or two home run difference to go from the 60s to the 70s. But I think James's point is on. And here's the key. I mean, let me give you a couple topper keys lately. Number one, tapping Bader. I didn't see it coming, right? And it's worked. Number two, keeping Kepler. Okay? Like, everybody was out on that dude. He stood by him. Number three, he honored, and I'm going to use this word. I know it's going to bother some people. I'll use it. He honored Castellanos' past success across a decade in baseball by not shaming that guy and benching him in May or June, and still has gotten to the point where he is now a part-time player, probably is going to play less than 50% in the playoffs, and the Phillies have, in the process, I believe it's currently the second best record in baseball.
Yes, the second best. Yes.
So it's not like
the best since the All-Star break.
Yeah, so it's not like
pretty
by
effortless.
Right,
too.
And my point is, it's not like by standing by Castellanos, Topper like screwed the record. Like, it's worked out just fine, and I do think he buys credibility is maybe not the right word. He buys belief in the locker room, particularly from veterans who know if I go a little south, I'll get some benefit of the doubt from my manager. And there's something to be said for that in a locker room where these guys got to work together, travel together. There's something to be said for that from a leadership standpoint. I think he's a great manager,
while
man.
While also still platooning Castellanos to that point you just made, right, like letting the guys know he's there for them while also making tough decisions.
Yeah. Now, Eric, let me be clear. He has a decision to make coming up in about a week and a half. And I think nobody in the world knows what the right decision will be. Time will tell, and we'll see if he can get it or if anyone's even capable. Who's the fourth starter? Matter of fact, he's got about 2.5 weeks because it's not to the third round of the playoffs. I mean, Nola, Taiwan, and frickin' Bueller, we'll see. I don't know. That's a tough one.
I'd say you go with, I would
and
say
the front office might be involved in that decision, too,
Eric,
for what it's worth.
Eric, go ahead, man.
I think you go with Bueller just for the fact that it's a new location. It's a new place. It's an American League pitcher that doesn't see, or that the batters from the National League don't see him as much. Maybe it's a little bit of a wild card. We saw what Nola's done. Nola had one game in there, and then he's gotten blown up every other game.
Look, they both have two.
Bueller's had one game, too.
That's right.
And Bueller was in the National League his whole career until this season. I don't know if the National League American League thing is
Yeah, Eric, look, bottom line, they got like two games left each to figure it out, and then maybe some simulated games in the week they're off, and you got to make a call. So, I don't know. Well,
I do think the front office is going to be involved. The Aaron Nola part of it. He's here for 5 years, 125. It is part of, like, we don't want it to be, but they're going to talk about that.
I got to do everything I can to maximize my chance to win the World Series this year.
I agree.
That's my metric of consideration. Eric, give me an answer, buddy, for a great fictional character from War.
I'm going to change mine up from what I told James initially. I think I'm going to go with from Apocalypse Now, Colonel Bill Kilgore, the guy who said, "I love the smell of napalm in the morning."
Robert Duvall.
All right, Eric, good call. Excellent call. By the way, speaking of the Phils, they won. It was another late game last night. It was another, you know, closing it out pretty late as Marchand with the big hit. So if you missed it, the Phillies were in an early hole and had a big comeback to tie it up. And then late, and they only got a hit in two innings. And one of those innings was the top of the ninth, Marchand with a three-run homer.
Here's the pitch. Swing and a drive down the right field line. It's hooking to the corner, and it's going to be gone. It just clears over the short wall in the right field corner, and Rafael Marchand has his moment. A three-run home run here in the top of the ninth inning. His second home run of the season. And the Phillies lead it 9-6.
No, that was big, obviously. Phil's magic number now to clinch the two seed at least, is four. They're totally going to get it. Now it's just a matter of whether they track down the Brewers, who won last night. Now, we got Ross with us here, a lot on the Eagles. So I want to get to some tush-push stuff, and I got some really interesting data ESPN presented yesterday. But first, let's start with some audio. Let's start with Adam Schefter. As Schefter talked this week on ESPN about the tush-push, listen to something that Schefter said.
The biggest thing here to me is that this game was lost in March. This game was lost when the NFL owners refused to ban the tush-push from happening. It wasn't lost yesterday. It was lost in March. And there might be a lot of games that the Eagles play that are lost in March because this play is unstoppable. It not only does the defense not know how to handle it, but even the officials don't even know how to handle it. You're seeing the Eagles linemen jump off sides every play, and nothing's called.
It's a false start.
So the officials have no idea. Defenses have no idea, and the Eagles get to do whatever they want on every single play in the tush push. And again, I know people hate it, but they have mastered it.
They have, obviously. Now, look, I was on the record, Ross, back in the spring or summer, whenever that ruling came down, and I said, I think the tush push may be worth as many as 3 wins per year. I feel confident it's at least a win. It might be 2, between 1 to 3 wins, the way the Eagles do it. Am I right or wrong?
3 wins sounds like a lot. I mean, there's very few plays or even players that really are the difference in the outcome of 3 games, but it's a big advantage. I mean, I don't know if you guys watched the Texans-Bucks Monday night. The Texans are at the 1-yard line, and on 3rd and 4th and goal, they threw it both times.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a significant advantage for the Eagles. Let me tell you a couple of things. First of all, it's a significant advantage. I love that they run it. I love that these other teams can't do it nearly as successfully. That's the part that's mind-blowing. Not that other teams can't stop it, but that every other team can look at it and study it
totally.
For years now.
It's a copycat league, and it's the one thing they don't copycat.
It's
well, guess what? All you need to do is you need to get movers of men like Landon Dickerson and Mailata, a couple of monsters, and then get a quarterback like Hurts. But a couple things that need to be said about it. Number one, they're going to call him on the false start now, okay? Mm. We know that the NFL hates it, right? So now they're dying to throw a flag on it. I believe that they really want to throw a flag on it. I also really believe, unfortunately, that this is going to be the last year of it, because in part because of those false starts. They clearly were false starting. They got away with it. Now, the thing is it's hard to see it, and if they don't call it, they don't call it, but that's going to be enough, I think, for the owners voted to keep it to say, okay, now they're able to get away with clear false starts on it.
Yeah, they're
going to
say the refs can't officiate it properly.
The refs can't. Yeah, I saw your tweet about that.
Well, because
that,
the injury excuse didn't work. No. So, I mean,
the injury excuse is comical because even if they get rid of the pushing aspect, the Eagles will still run a quarterback sneak, and the mechanism of the injury they're concerned about is the O-line, D-line in those crouch stances firing off low. That ain't changing. They're going to run a quarterback sneak, and they're going to do it very similarly. They're just not going to come from behind Hurts and push him. The Eagles are still going to have a lot of success with it, and it's not going to change the injury factor one iota.
All right, so here's something. I want to get to this audio, and this is one of the strongest anti-tush-push things I've ever heard. Mike Greenberg yesterday used the word. People are not going to like the word he used describing the tush-push. Here's what he said on ESPN.
To me, there's another part of it, which is whether they officiated properly or not. The play is an abomination. Agreed. It's unwatchable. This has nothing to do with how good the Eagles are. I know the Eagle fans get all sensitive about this. It is the most unwatchable. This is not what football was ever meant to be.
Agreed. And the league tried to get rid of it. 22 out of the 32 teams voted to eliminate it, but they needed 24. And the Eagles put on the full court press. They sent old Jason Kelsey in there to argue it.
There you go. Put a center in there. We'll get it fixed.
Yeah, exactly. So, but like, I'm with you.
World's problems, we got it.
Like, you know, you're selling a TV product, too, if you're the NFL. Like, you don't want, like, a disgusting-looking play whose outcome is not in doubt. And by the way, if you're going to let them do it, then make sure they do it legally.
John, that was the first time I heard abomination with the tush push, man.
Abomination is a little far, isn't it?
You know, for Mike Greenberg, whose favorite team is the Jets, the Jets have been an abomination for years. We haven't been able to get rid of them.
So,
and
look,
then it's disgusting.
Can I say two things?
God.
Two things, right? Number one,
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
These people, if it was their team that was doing it, they would love it.
You know what? I disagree, Ross. It's
amen,
my,
Ross.
It's, no, not amen. It's my team, and I think it should be out of pro football.
You're one person.
Okay.
The
Secondly,
entire fan base loves it except
let me say
for
one
you.
Thing, okay?
I'm on a small island.
No, you know, it's not even an island. You're on a stone.
We got to find out what from Jaws today, Joe, later today. Because Jaws told us a couple years ago he was anti. Let's find out if he still is. Go ahead,
Joe,
Ross.
Here's the other thing, okay?
Yeah.
What I really don't like is when people say it's not a football play. It's, you know, has nothing to do with the sport. So I've studied the history of football, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Princeton played the first football game ever. My alma mater, it was a college game in 1869, okay? That is how football used to be played. Like, that was like the genesis of football.
Sure. Right,
was
rugby
the
stuff.
Flying yeah. wedge, yeah. the rugby stuff. And for me, as a former offensive lineman, to me, I know it might not be stylistically pleasing to people, but that is the essence of the sport in my mind. I love that. It's just, hey, we're lining up, you know what's coming, you still can't stop it.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome. And again, I can't emphasize this enough. As soon as they outlaw it, which they're going to do, it's going to look very similar. They're just not going to come up and push from behind.
That's all I'm answering. All
but,
I'm answering is
but
the push.
But it's going to look
that's
the same. What, the things that people don't like about it, oh, it's just this massive humanity yeah. and all these guys. That's not changing. So everybody yeah, get yeah. ready to keep crying.
All right, so let me
hey, I want to talk about another guy who exhibits exactly what we're talking about here, this massive humanity. He's going to destroy you with his face on you. It's Cameron Latu. Ross. Cameron
that was awesome. Did you see that play?
Well, he had six offensive plays in that game. The one play where he actually, it was like a power or something, where he demolished the dude, took him, drove him 7 yards into the end zone and just smushed him. That was amazing. This guy, Cameron Latu, is going to destroy whoever he's assigned to block. This guy is the personification of Metallica's Seek and Destroy.
You know what,
awesome.
John? He might. He's basically going to be the Van Sumeren replacement.
Yeah, I think.
And
so.
What's crazy is he barely played tight end in the preseason, but he made a bunch of tackles on special teams. He was a dude in the preseason on special teams.
Great.
And so that's highly encouraging that they're going to have him to be the tight end, the fullback, and the special team. I got to be honest with you guys. I'm not there yet, but I'm getting close to the point where I might rather see Latu block than Calcaterra.
Wow, you think
please.
It's that bad with them? Yeah, Rhea's been saying that it's
well,
been
and here's what I don't understand,
yeah.
okay? Here's what I understand. And I know, look, I have so much respect for the Eagles coaches. I talk to those guys a lot in the preseason. They put so much time in. They had 34 snaps of multiple tight ends. Goddard's hurt. Why are we having that many snaps of Calcaterra and Granson on the field at the same time? The only good tight end they have is Goddard. Okay, there's other guys are just guys. There's nothing wrong with that. I was just a guy. Okay, but the only good one they have is Goddard. Why would they have more than half their snaps two tight ends out there? Do 11 personnel. Do three receivers. Get Jahan Dotson out there. He's looked good when they've given him the ball.
I like him a lot.
I wish, I mean, they're never going to tell us, but I wish they would explain why they're using so much 12 personnel, which is two tight ends, as opposed to 11, which is only one, especially with Goddard out.
All right, Joe to camera. We got a big show here. John, Ross, Devin, Seltzer, and Rio on this Wednesday morning. Eagles and Rams in 4 days. We're probably going to see a lot more of the tush push. I want to get to this ESPN data Unbelievable stuff in 1 minute. I'm going to tell you some data that's going to blow your mind about the tush push in one moment here. Let me tell you about PI Dental Center. With their decades of experience in complex dental treatment, of which I've been a patient now for 2 decades, my mom a patient there for 3 decades. Why? Because they're the best. With Dr. Glenn Wolfinger and Dr. Robert Slough, both board-certified prosthodontists, they specialize in the restoration and replacement of teeth. Now, fortunately, I've never needed all that, the restoration and replacement of teeth. For me, it's been year-to-year maintenance, and they are phenomenal at that, but also phenomenal at really solving major problems. If you've got a major problem, get yourself to PI Dental Center. They're located in Fort Washington. They're the originators of the Teeth in a Day, a revolutionary treatment that delivers fixed teeth and implants placed for a dramatic transformation in a mere 1 day. Make sure you visit PIDentalCenter.com. That's PIDentalCenter.com. to request your new patient evaluation. Now, a reminder, coming up in the next 5 minutes here, we're going to give you a name. And with that name, on Friday on our program, you can win tickets to the Eagles-Rams game. You got to know the 4 names we say this week, one on Tuesday, one on Wednesday, one on Thursday, one on Friday, all right around 8 o'clock. With those 4 names, you can win tickets to the Eagles and Rams.
Courtesy of NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
All right, so ESPN, big article yesterday. We all know the Eagles convert the tush push at an incredible rate. Let me tell you what they've got it at on 4th-and-1 scenarios. Now, to be clear, the Eagles also use 3rd-and-1s. They use goal lines on 2nd-and-goal from the 1. But let me just give you some basic facts ESPN presented yesterday. And the contrast with the rest of the league is what's fascinating. Listen to this. ESPN says, since Eagles began using this in 2022, they have converted the play on 4th-and-1. 96.6% of the time. ESPN also says, and they talked to Shane Steichen, who of course was here through 2022, but has not been here since 23, 24, into 25. Shane Steichen with the Colts, who had success with this with the Eagles in 22, has attempted to play with the Indianapolis Colts 3 times in now over 2 seasons. 3 attempts, and they were 0 for 3. Let's go on to the next fact. The Eagles have attempted a tush push, goal line, 4th-and-1, 3rd-and-1, 116 times since 2022. The NFL, which, and Rhea, you used this term earlier, it's a good term, copycat league, we all hear it all the time because it is. So the big question in this article was, and I'm going to read right from it, why don't more teams try to duplicate the Eagles' signature play? When you consider the league average, they report for a 4th-and-1 non-tush push, 4th-and-1 non-tush push, which I believe we saw Kareem Hunt with one the other day, which failed. It was a non-tush push fail. Success for the offense to convert is 67%.
Wow.
67%.
So almost 30% higher for the Eagles.
Eagles, 96%. Now, couple more pieces of data, which are wild, absolutely wild. The league average, when the league uses a tush push, is 84%. But, of course, most of them are the Eagles. And get ready for this information here, because this is where it really brings home the advantage the Eagles have. The Bills are the only other team that has used it with any sort of regularity. They have used it 57 times in these last couple of years. They've converted 51 of 57, which is obviously a great conversion, 89%. The Bills do it. The team with the next most attempts is the Chicago Bears, with 16 attempts. There are teams across the league with 0 attempts in these last 3 years. And so the question is, again, fundamentally back to the ESPN, you know, one question in here, why don't more teams duplicate the Eagles' signature play? Now, I want you to hold on to that for a moment. We're going to get back to that in 1 second and do a dive on why we think the Eagles succeed and other teams don't even try. We'll get to that in a moment, but let's give you a chance to win tickets.
And the name is...
All right, the name to know for this week on Friday is Steve Van Buren. So we gave you a name yesterday, Eagles-Rams related. We give you another Eagles-Rams related name as the Eagles' first true great tailback, Steve Van Buren, back in 1949, won the Eagles a championship with 196 yards in the L.A. Coliseum, beating those L.A. Rams back then. Steve Van Buren, NFL Hall of Famer, who, by the way, when he retired, held the NFL's all-time rushing record, which has since been passed by any number of people, including Emmitt Smith, who currently holds it.
I never knew that.
That's a good factoid right there.
Van Buren had it. Hey, Ross, it's in my book.
Joe, first of all, I love your book, I love that you gave me one, and I love that I saw you outside of Springer's in Stone Harbor selling them.
Yes, sir.
Two thoughts on that. One is, my first game for the Cowboys was the day Emmitt broke the all-time rushing record. Isn't that crazy? Literally, I got cut. I got cut that week by the Redskins, claimed up the next day on waivers by the Cowboys. I suited up for the game, and Emmitt broke the all-time rushing record. And then the other thing I want to say about the tush push is, I didn't think about this until you just said it. My game for CBS Sunday is Colts-Titans. I'm asking Steichen.
You should.
I will have an answer for you guys. I know what he's going to say. He's going to say it's Landon, it's Mailata, and it's the quarterback, because that is what it is.
All right, so let's get to that, Ross. I have five different reasons written down for why the Eagles may be better than everyone else, and I'm sure it's a combination of them. I'm just going to ask all of you, which do you think is the biggest reason? Five different reasons. By the way, it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake Studio. Ross with us for an hour, as he is every Wednesday through this time. Reminder, later today, Mike Quick, Ron Jaworski, and we're coming to you heavy on the phones as we move. Now, let me say this. Again, the team with the third most attempts is the Chicago Bears with 16. Why aren't other teams doing it? Ross, John, Devin, James, and Rhea, here are the five reasons I've written down. Tell me which you think is the most likely to be the most important. Jalen, number one, Jalen Hurts' power and instincts. Number two, Mailata, Dickerson, Juergens. They always go left. Okay, again, power and instincts again, but Mailata, Dickerson, Juergens. Number three, Stoutland. Number four, and this is similar to Stoutland, but I'm going to separate them, that the Eagles have mastered practicing it, that they're willing to practice it. This article talked about how there are coaches who are on the record. We don't even want to practice it. We don't want to put our offensive, defensive linemen and our quarterback at risk. Number five, the push. John, which one do you think, and I know they all contribute, which do you think is the most critical that gives the Eagles this wild advantage?
I'm going to say, man, I'm torn between Stoutland and just the very clear Mailata, Dickerson, Juergens, just the players themselves.
But there's got to be other big offensive linemen in pro football. I mean, I know the Eagles have one of the biggest lines, but there are behemoths on other teams, too.
You missed one, Joe.
Jalen Hurts.
No, I said Hurts.
What's that, Russ?
I think that Mailata's rugby background gives the – I think if you watch, okay – the other teams, the offensive linemen, they fire off, but then they kind of stop their feet. If you watch Mailata and Dickerson, it's the second surge. It's the continued scrum, and it is like a rugby scrum. I think you say Stoutland. This is just my belief. I believe Mailata. I wouldn't be surprised if the Eagles flew in rugby coaches, but I think Mailata has mastered the technique since he's been doing it since he was 8 years old, and he showed Landon how to do it, and that they have better, not only are they monsters, but I think they have better technique on the left side than anybody else, which, by the way, just occurred to me, they could totally throw teams off and run it to the right once. I mean, there's no reason for them to do it. By the way, how do you guys feel about these teams that voted against it, like the Chargers or the Bills using
10 of them used it.
So outrageous. Especially Sean McDermott saying it's injury. It's like, if you're going to vote against it and say, I am voting against it because it is a dangerous play that people get hurt on, and then you run it after that, like, that is like the definition of being hypocritical.
And I'm actually doing Bills Dolphins tomorrow night on radio for Western One, which I think is on WIP here. Maybe not with the Phillies, but I would love to say to McDermott or anybody, You either don't really think it is an injury issue, right? Like you said, you thought it was, or you're comfortable subjecting your players to injury risk. Is there any other?
There is a different answer.
What?
Because the NFL's had the kick rule, NFL kickoff rule changed a number of times, And all teams would acknowledge that there's injury risk, but coaches still have to send players out there to go do it. I mean, it's football. It is what it
no,
is.
No, you don't have to send players out there to do the tush push.
Hey, you can just run a sneak. You can run a
tush push. Yeah, but it's not as effective.
But he then don't come out That's and say correct. It's an injury risk and then run the play. Like, he went on the Can't record saying,
well,
I'm
an injury risk for a wide receiver to go across the middle, but I run plays where a wide receiver.
He said, I'm voting against the play.
He's not trying to eliminate that, Joe.
Listen, I have no problem with that. I have no problem with McDermott.
Joe, here's the problem with the NFL when it comes to this play. Last year, it was injury. This year, clearly, the announcers, Dean Blandino, Schefter, Greenberg, have gotten their talking points from the NBA to go, now we can't officiate. Look, that became very clear this weekend.
And it is irritating, but I will say this. All I'm against is the push. And Ross, to the point you made earlier, maybe they would still succeed at a 90-something clip because Mulata would still be able to do his thing. Hurts is still Hurts. You know, you're still going to be lined up in this bunch formation, and you just get a surge. I'm not saying it would be the Eagles go from 96 to 56. But I know this. I know the push helps. And as a football fan, the only thing I'm against, which, by the way, was completely against the rules until 20 years ago, and no one thought to do it until 5 years ago, the only thing I'm against is the push. That's all. That's all I'm at. Let's go to the phones. JB in Chestnut Hill. JB, good morning.
Good morning, Joe. You're definitely in the minority on this.
Because, I know.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, the great Bill Belichick, a few years ago when they were dropping 45 and 50 on teams, he said, you don't like it, stop us. So teams have to be better at D-line. They have to know what's coming. They have to root hog, which is basically your two D-tackles going in through A-gap, laying down, putting your body on the line, and have the linebackers clog it up, and then you got to come off the edge. Like, it is stoppable because other teams have been stopped. The Eagles are just great at it. They're every one of those five things you named. That's the cornucopia that makes it work because they can do every single one of those.
Well, that's correct. When they do it. You're right.
That's kind of where I stand on that. But, John, I was going to ask you if you knew what the strongest muscle in the human body was, not the heart.
Strongest muscle. The tongue?
Yeah, I think it's the tongue.
No, it's the masseter, which is the four-part muscle that holds your jaw together.
Hmm. Wow. Oh, the jaw. That makes sense.
Mm. Yeah.
How do they determine that?
Good question.
Oh, we got a Jonah Gaines.
Ivan Drago and his training facility, they know all there that information, go. Ross.
Yes, they had that all.
By the way, right? You know what's funny about that? I the long snapper, I did Ravens Browns on Sunday. I was talking with the long snapper for the Ravens. This is how advanced they are now, guys. He had like a Fitbit or whatever on his wrist. They measure the speed with which he snaps his wrist.
Wow.
And like it's unbelievable how many things they can measure now. Like, John, they had none of that stuff.
Did he say how fast it was going? Like, how fast does his wrist go?
They can see how fast he does, how many times he does it in a day, the velocity, and if he feels a little bit off, right, he checks the data right away. Sometimes he's doing it too fast.
Let me tell you something, dude. It's a good thing they didn't have one of those things on Seltzer when he was a teenager.
Oh my God. I knew you were going to do that, Joe.
Look at him. All right, enough said.
Why?
Because he was working hard at practice a lot?
Yeah,
because
I was actually moving around and not like sitting around. I actually did lift weights.
He was doing curls.
I actually have a weightlifting trophy.
I won
in a weightlifting competition. I'm not even kidding. I swear to God.
Joe, did you serve your country and play high school football like Seltzer did? No, you did not.
Yeah.
How do you know that, Ross?
Rein it in, big dog.
That Joe didn't play high school football?
I was going to answer the question. Yeah,
because he went to St. Joe's Prep, and I've seen what the guys that play high school football for St. Joe's Prep look like.
They don't look like Joe. We stunk back then.
What does Joe look like?
Joe looks not like a St. Joe's Prep high school football player.
No, we got like 20 in the pros now. JB, give me an answer. Fictional war character. Best ever.
How about John J. Rambo?
Oh, big, Rambo.
Big.
Wow.
Holy cow.
That's another big one.
That's a massive answer.
All right, 215-592-9494. Coming up, more on the Eagles offense. we'll get it back to where we kind of started today and what's gone on so far, what we make of it. Is it troubling? Is it not troubling? What do you think is the biggest issue there? Plus more in the tush push, Mike Quick at 840, Orlowski on something he's noticed about the Eagles offense, and more with Ross as well. Plus the Phils on a frickin' roll. Seltzer, dare I say, with butter. They're on a heater. Jenna Cameron, John Ritchie. It's 94 WIP.
A hotel can offer a great club or a bar. A resort could provide a high-end restaurant or a spa. But if you want it all, dining, bars, pool, spa, gaming clubs, and shows, it takes much more than the boardwalk. It takes a village. It takes a Borgata. If it takes the best dining tables under the same roof as the best gaming tables, if it takes one pool being just a dozen pool lanes away from the next, if it takes trying your luck and a new dish on the same night, if it takes room service and bottle service, it takes nothing short of a village to make your stay. So they built one, and they call it Borgata. Visit theborgata.com to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.